Hi, everybody. Welcome to one of the very last workshops of this amazing convention. This session is Tools, and we're going to talk about meetings. We're going to have two speakers, and then we'll do Q&A. All right, so it's my absolute pleasure to introduce my friend Sue. Go ahead, Miss Sue.
Thank you, Sandy. Hi, everybody. My name is Sue. I am a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. Abstinent by a power greater than myself, certainly not by the power of Sue. I'm also a 100-pounder and relapse survivor. I came to Overeaters Anonymous from a different 12-step program. I had been going there 7 years and not feeling like I fit in there. And finally, I heard somebody talking about Overeaters Anonymous. And in late 1990s, I think it was like 1988, I first came to the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, and my first meeting was less than promising because I called the intergroup, and back then they actually had people call in answer live, and they told me where the meeting was going to be, and there were two people there, and neither of the people there had the key to the church, and we couldn't get in. So there was a woman and a man. The man went home. The woman said she knew where there was going to be another meeting. And when we got there, it was an open area. The area was open, but there was nobody there either. But we did have a beginner's meeting. And when I heard the meetings of the beginner's meeting, I knew I was home. I knew this is where I belonged. I started going to meetings 6 and 7 times a week. I followed the same group of people around. We started going to lunch on Saturday. I felt welcomed. I felt I made friends. Feelings that I didn't know before. Feelings that I didn't believe I was ever going to have. I lost the 100 pounds that I needed to lose. Within the first year or so. Things were great. I did service. I did speaking. Everything was wonderful. I had a sponsor. I gave my food away every night. And it was a really wonderful, wonderful experience. Except what I kept thinking is, isn't it wonderful what I was doing? It lasted 3 years, and then I got tired of doing all the work. Got tired of giving my food away and writing it down every night. Got tired of following the same food plan. I stopped doing as much service. I stopped going to as many meetings, and eventually, I wasn't going to any meetings at all. I told my friends, well, I thought to myself, I have friends, I have a food plan, that's what I'm getting from OA, I'll continue with that, and I should be fine. But of course, I wasn't. Eventually, I started to pick up some of the foods that I wasn't eating the last 3-4 years. And eventually, the friends kind of went away. So for the next 7 years, or in the next 7 years, I regained not just 100 pounds I lost, but 60 pounds on top of that. And I wound up coming crawling back into the rooms. Weighing 340 pounds, I could not walk around the block without having severe shortness of breath and back pain. And when I knew that I had to go back to the rooms, I was full of shame. Look what I had done to myself. But I knew the only place I could go was back to OA. The first time, abstinence was easy. I got it right away. The second time, I really had to work for it. And it took me, I came back to the rooms in November of 2010. I didn't get abstinent until January of 2014. And it's partially because of a reading in the Alcoholics Anonymous book about acceptance. And I had to accept that I was truly a compulsive overeater. And the answer was only in working the 12 steps. So I started to work the 12 steps. I did research on finding a higher power. And eventually what happened was that I found a higher power within myself. That little voice that I could finally hear. That when I listened to him, he told me what was right and what was wrong. I got abstinent. I've lost 95 pounds. And I'm very grateful to Overeaters Anonymous for the life I have today, because the life I have today is beyond my wildest dreams. Not that I don't have difficulties, but I wouldn't trade one day today for my best day back in the food. I've been asked to speak to you about meetings. One of the first things I learned when I came in was meeting makers make it. And it also only takes two to make a meeting, which is why, although my experience when I first came was not wonderful, there were only two of us, but I knew it only took two to make a meeting. And I've been to all sorts of meetings. The world is changing. When I first came in, the only thing I knew were face-to-face meetings. And I used to go to face-to-face meetings 5 and 6 times a week. I followed the same crowd around from meeting to meeting. When I moved a little bit further out east, my meetings were now an hour's drive away. And I kept going back to my meetings that I knew. But then out here, for the east, I slipped on the ice and broke my ankle. I had just gotten abstinent, and it was my right foot. My husband was very good about driving me places, but with a broken ankle, I couldn't go back to the meetings an hour's drive away. So, and he was nice, but he wasn't going to drive me for an hour's meeting an hour's drive away. So I discovered telephone meetings, particularly the 100-pounders meeting, which meets at 9 o'clock my time every night. And so I became, so what I do in the evening is I listen to telephone meetings. When I had the, I've done service on very different levels, and I was blessed with being able to go to the World Service Business Conference. And I worked with many younger people on creating, on exploring different meeting options. I've learned that there's WhatsApp meetings, which aren't in real time. There are Facebook meetings. There are all sorts of meetings in the virtual world, that some of which I've experienced and some of which I haven't tried yet. But there's no excuse for not going to a meeting. And the one thing I know for sure is that meeting makers make it. I have a disease. My medicine is found by going to the meetings. Because it's in meetings that I get together with people who understand my problems and my difficulties. And it's only in meetings that I find my companionship. I'm hoping and praying to my new higher power, to the higher power I found within me, that I never leave the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous again. I know for sure that I might have, well, I shouldn't say I know for sure, I might have another relapse within me. I don't know if I have another recovery, which is why I continue to go to meetings. One day at a time. I've learned to practice this program one day at a time. I was taught to plan my day to plan my meetings around my day, not my day around my meetings. And I've met wonderful people, people who I wouldn't run into on a normal basis. And they have become fast friends. So I encourage all of you, if you are new and it seems very confusing, we speak our own language, I know that, keep coming back. If you haven't got a sponsor, get a sponsor. A sponsor will help you get through all of the stuff in OA. If you're not working the steps, get a step sponsor. Work the steps. That's where the recovery for me, that's where my recovery was. And again, if you're not going to a meeting, if you think it's difficult, there are Zoom meetings now. Go on the OA website and look up meetings. There are meetings going on all around the clock, every hour on the hour and on the half hour. And that's all I can say. Just keep coming back. Keep going to meetings. Do service on the meetings. The meetings really do need service to exist. And thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Sue. Thank you very much. That was great. All right. Now let's hear from Carla.
Hi. I'm a compulsive overeater. My name is Carla. My abstinence date is January 12, 1987. I came into the program in 1978 in June. And I and, will give you what I was like before I came into meeting. When I was growing up, my parents had a grocery store, which is a wonderful place for a compulsive overeater to blossom in her compulsion. And I got that little spoiled brat. I didn't know that till I had hindsight about that. I thought everybody didn't take care of me, that I was a martyr. I would, if you had my problems, you would want to eat too. My parents had the grocery store, and my grandmother was destitute, really, and came to live with us. And she was the one who would be the caregiver for myself and my sister. And I didn't appreciate that. I wanted my mother. My grandmother wasn't the same type of person as my mother. And my two older sisters got along fine with her. But then, of course, she, as I said, she was destitute and she wanted to remain sure that she had a place in our home, kept us dependent on her. So I didn't have to make a bed. We didn't wash dishes. We didn't even set the table or clean up. And being the youngest of the three, I wasn't supposed to go near a stove or an iron. We lived in a three-story house and don't even go near the steps. But my parents, of course, had other ideas, and we were able to have responsibilities in the store, and they had to be done right, or we'd be told about it in front of the customers. So I got mixed messages, but I basically wanted to say that I couldn't do these things. I wasn't capable, and I wouldn't have to try. So that was where I got very spoiled and wanted people to take care of me, and that carried on for decades. I did get through school, but when I was in eighth grade, I started losing weight with the help of a very loving girlfriend. that encouraged me. And I was able to do a lot better in schoolwork and athletics. Oh, so let me show you. This is a picture of me before I lost the weight. There we go. Yes, that was what I was like. And definitely that's still in my head. And even though I kept the weight off for decades, I did finish school and I worked in the office, finally took a hostage and married my husband, Buck, but it was a very dysfunctional marriage. I had been given a lot of put downs and I thought, you know, that's okay. That's the way he has some issues from his childhood and I'll take care of that one. He just needs some TLC. That's what I thought on the surface of it. Underneath that, it wasn't that way. I was wanting somebody to keep me from, so I could continue my compulsive overeating. If only he would take care of me, if only he would do the that. In the meantime, when I was growing up, these girlfriends that helped me lose the weight went off to other places when I got to high school, and I started gaining the weight. So I started using diet pills. And that was my answer for many years. When I would become pregnant, and after I had my two babies, nursed them. So anyway, they finally, we moved to, I grew up in South New Jersey in Philadelphia area. And we have moved to Delaware, and then we moved to Michigan, the Detroit area. And that's where I could not get my diet pills, and I gained all this weight back. I was up, I'm only, well, at that time I was 5 feet, I'm 4'11 now. But, and I was a size 24 when I came into programming. The last time I was on the scale, I was 172. And now I'm 96 pounds and size 4, and been able to maintain that for a number of years. So now I couldn't find the diet pills. I found a friend who was also looking for it, and she suggested going to OA. And because they wouldn't exploit us asking for large sums of money, I went to a meeting and I found that love and acceptance that I had with those girlfriends. And I fell in love with that program. I was able to latch onto a sponsor the first night, started calling in my food, gave up the refined sugar that is totally my compulsion. I also gave up white flour, and I found out that fried foods were not good for my stomach. Later on, I even gave up caffeine. But at first, you know, and the first I would drink artificial sweetener sodas and things, but that affected my stomach and I had to give up that after a number of years. But the most important thing was going to meetings. I did not have the support at home. I just didn't get acceptance and love and encouragement like I do at meetings. And I heard that I needed to go to the, do the steps. So I went to step meetings. And I definitely asked for help from a higher power than whom I choose to call God. And this program had increased that idea of a higher power. It definitely I can't box it in. That higher power is amazing. It has, my higher power has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. But definitely the meetings were important. As I said, I went to step meetings and started doing my inventory. Hated doing that, but my higher power is so much fun. I said to my higher power, well, I'm too busy with these children, this and that. And if you want me to do my inventory, give me the time to do it. My two children were allowed to go on a scouting weekend without me. And I had the whole weekend to do my inventory. Oh, I wasn't very happy about it. But I did it. And life happened. I wasn't always able to maintain my abstinence. I was able, in the first 6 months, or 6 to 9 months, I was able to take off the weight and get down to at least a size 10, a normal or a healthy weight for me at that point. And my husband was faced with transfers, and it was in the middle of layoffs in that area. And so life happened, so I didn't always remain abstinent. I wouldn't go back to refined sugar. I had issues with refined sugar the first few months, where it was in foods that I had, processed foods and stuff. And it would pick me up and drop me off, and I was suicidal. So I learned never to go back to refined sugar, but I could still overeat on good, healthy food. So I had to just keep coming back to me. I had taken service positions in OA. I always wanted to give back what the service was given to me. And when I would break my absence, I'd have to go back to a meeting and tell them, you know, I can't continue with that position. But I would hear something, and I would keep coming back until I could get back on track again. And eventually, as I said, in January of 87, I was able to finally surrender. Before that, I had acceptance that I was an overeater, that I was very compulsive, but I didn't surrender that it was the most important thing in my life, that I needed to maintain a spiritual connection with my higher power, and that going to meetings and not being isolated was what I needed. Keeping in contact with the fellowship between meetings. My higher power has skin on it with the fellowship. And I'm so pleased I don't have to be isolated anymore. But life happened. And I definitely had a number of relapses. I wouldn't even have a whole year of abstinence and relapse. Things happened. We finally did move from Michigan to North Carolina, and I was there 40 years. And immediately would go to meetings, and immediately would get sponsors and acquire my food. But still, you know, I was fortunate enough to give my inventory away, my first step, before I moved, and then had started making amends to my family. That poor grandmother, I finally told her I loved her and would spend quality time with me when I would take visits home. And also tell my parents, who I have objected that I had to work as a little girl. Oh, my. It gave me a wonderful, unfortunately, it helped me learn good work ethics. Anyway, so I did have to go to meetings, but with life happening every once in a while, I didn't understand that this was the most important thing in my life. And also wanted to party now that I had lost weight. And that got me into another program. And I only say that because that's where I really drew the line and found out that this program was a matter of life and death. And I've sponsored people and been buddies with people that have died from compulsive overeating. And it isn't a pretty day. It's painfully nasty. Anyway, so I definitely have gone to meetings and definitely done service work because that kept me. And I have tried doing service work at the inner group and the region and even a delegate level. But I prefer the meetings and being secretary or speaking or treasurer. These are the things that I feel most comfortable about. And sponsoring. I definitely am very, very fortunate that I have three sponsors that I've had for years. I think I have a few minutes left. I'm not sure how I'm doing a little extend myself, but I was living in, I did have to leave that first marriage, and my son was estranged from me from 5.5 years, and I had to let him go and say, you know, if you want a relationship with me, you'll have to initiate it. And he did come back, and we have a better relationship than I ever thought. And I wouldn't have been able to do any of this without the meeting and the fellowship. And I had to divorce that first husband because he wanted to see me compulsive again. He couldn't. I had changed. I can't fault him. He was a good provider and a good father and a decent husband, but he wanted to keep me in a negative person. And I couldn't do that. And so we separated and he remarried. And he resented me for many years. And just before he passed away at 56, he got cancer. We were able to communicate. And I told him that I had been praying for him, for his health and his prosperity. And we were able to make amends. And I was very, very thankful for that. So I just wanted to say that also with the help of a higher power in these meetings, I was able to move from North Carolina to Florida 3 years ago, right before the pandemic. And if it wasn't for these meetings and my higher power, I would not have been able to do that. Knowing that I could pick up my life here in Florida with the meetings. And fortunately, I went to meetings right away before the pandemic started and have been able to continue going to Zoom meetings. And I'm very grateful to this fellowship. It is definitely nothing I could do on my own willpower. Thank you for letting me share.
Great. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Sue. That was great. Thank you both so much. So we're going to open it up for questions. So here's a question. How many meetings do I have to go to?
I go to a lot of meetings, but they're not all OA meetings. But I definitely need the meetings. I definitely have my home group meetings. That's very special to me because that's a relationship with those people. They know me, and they know when something's going wrong with me. And I can do that for them, too. At one time, I went to the 60 meetings in 60 days. And for a year, I would go to meetings almost every day. But now I can go to maybe 5 or meetings a week. Thank you.
Thanks. And Sue?
My belief is the meeting makers make it. I know people are busy. I know they have very busy lives. But, you know, I was taught to plan my meetings around my day, not my meetings around my day. How much recovery do you want?
All right. What's better, in-person meetings, Zoom meetings, phone meetings, there's even email meetings. What's the best way to do it?
I prefer face-to-face meetings, but I only go to one face-to-face meeting a week, and the rest are Zoom meetings. And I still have that relationship with the people there that we know each other, and we know when things aren't working right. I appreciate being able to have all these different types of meetings. And, you know, there have been times I've had health problems. Fortunately, I've had COVID twice that where I wasn't very sick, but I had to isolate for a number of days. So I was very pleased to have two more. Thank you.
Thanks, Carla. Sue?
It depends on what's available to you. If they're face-to-face meetings, sure, I would go to a face-to-face meeting. If not, Zoom and phone meetings are options. I know the Zoom meetings have problems, you know, it's still a meeting. So, I would always go back to the phone line. You know, the phone lines right now are a little, they're having problems, so we'll help them to work those out.
Okay, thanks. All right. Question, can I attend a 100-pound meeting even if I don't have 100 pounds to lose? And same question about all those. Maybe you guys could talk about special focus and special meetings.
OA meetings are open to anybody. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. That's in our traditions. And I've heard it spoken about at all sorts of different levels. It's just the same as if a woman wants to go to a men's meeting. A woman can attend a men's meeting. They just have to understand that it's a men's focused meeting. You cannot be denied to come in. You do not have to be a 100-pounder to come into a 100-pounders meeting. A lot of people who come to the 100-pounders meetings are not 100-pounders, but they usually have a speaker every night that's lost 100 pounds. The only one that has to be a 100-pounder is the speaker.
Thanks. Go ahead, Carla.
I prefer to go to open the meetings that are for my type, which is pretty general meetings. They're closed. A lot of them are closed meetings, but that only means that they're for people who know that they're compulsive overeaters. There are open meetings for newcomers, and that's good because I can give service there. But when I need to go to a meeting for myself, it's helpful to be at a closed meeting. And, you know, the meetings are very important. I can't do this on my own willpower. So, yes, if somebody needs a meeting and it's a certain type, I'm pleased that they won't be turned away. Thank you.
Thank you. And let's just say it one more time, because it is a very confusing idea that the website has meetings and those meetings are called open or closed. All the meetings listed on the website, you know, are running. Open means open to all. So sometimes health professionals will come, like nurses and doctors. Closed simply means closed to the public, open to those of us who have a desire to stop eating compulsively. Thanks. All right, let's see. So which meetings would you recommend for newcomers, i.e. literature, STEP? There's a lot of different choices. What do you say to a newcomer?
Usually there are meetings that are beginner focused. So I always suggest that they try to go to beginner focused meetings. Because that's where they'll find people who are sharing their experience, strength, and hope, and hopefully find sponsors. The first recommendation is try 6 different meetings and try them, see which one you like.
Yeah, good. Carla?
Just want to reinforce that, and that I was told to stay with the winners. And that meant to look for somebody who has what I want and see if I can't stay with them. Thank you.
All righty. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I can identify with this one. Some meetings have rules and a lot of personalities that I don't really care for. What can I do about that?
I'll take that one.
Sure.
Oh, my. That has been a growing experience for me. I was told to learn patience, kindness, and tolerance.
Ooh.
And that's a journey. But yeah. Definitely, you know, if the meeting is really so irritating that you're not getting that serenity that meetings are so helpful and adding to your life, then look for another one. Either if it's not face to face, then a Zoom, whatever. But definitely there'll be times when I've been needing to practice patience, kindness, and tolerance. And, you know, I'm a very opinionated person. I'm a very dominating person. And other dominating persons and I sometimes conflict. So this is a wonderful place to be able to work through those issues. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Sue?
Principles before personalities. If somebody, and usually you'll find there's a small group. It may not be the entire meeting. If you can find people in the meeting that are not associated with that, you know, they may have rules you can bring up at a group conscience meeting. Find out why the rules were put in place. And if it's personalities, find some people that aren't associated with that. Because there's, you know, because there should be people that are not associated with it. And find out your own people, or bring people with you that you can associate with.
What does it mean by home group or home meetings? What does that mean?
For me, that means that's a meeting I go to, I vote at. We should, as far as I'm concerned, I only have one vote, and that will be at my home group meeting for the issues that come up in the program. And that home group meeting is one that I should attend, unless I'm totally disabled. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I definitely get to have that relationship, as I tried to mention earlier, with other people. It's so important to be able to communicate and negotiate with people that are wonderful in recovery, but might have different opinions on outside issues. And, you know, we get to realize that we can still get along with a lot of people that we wouldn't have if we hadn't been in this program. Thank you.
Good. Okay. All right. Are you expected to donate for the seventh tradition at every meeting you attend? If I attend a lot of meetings, this could be expensive.
When I was going to face-to-face meetings, I put something in the basket. Every time the basket came around, it may not have been, you know, the suggested donation of $5. I think the suggested donation now is $5, but I put something in the basket every time. Now what I do is I have donations automatically deducted from my checking account. And I have one that goes to an intergroup and one that goes to two that go to intergroups. Is the way I have my donation set up now.
Okay. Carla?
Yes. And during my lifetime, there have been times when I barely was afloat financially. So there were times when I could not give to every meeting I went to. But I definitely did make a portion of what I had and gave it to me. Again, now a lot of times I just mail in my contributions to the intergroup or to work service, but and it's nice at anniversary time every year I can give $1 for every year I've been abstinent. That's that's fantastic that it keeps going like that. And I definitely am very grateful to be able to give back. Thank you.
One thing I always like hearing, I always like reminding is I remind myself, how much money did I spend compulsively overeating?
Yes.
Right. How much money did I lose and gain by dieting and gaining and dieting and dieting? Okay. Yeah. So that's a good perspective. Oh, and let me just say the $5 a meeting suggested donation, that applies that's a United States guideline. You guys do what you do. And if you're in another country, we don't want you to get left with that. It's in no way expected. Just give what you can. All right. What's that parking lot thing people talk about? What does that mean for face-to-face and Zoom meetings? What is that?
I think it's more on Zoom meetings. And basically what it means is people will stay after the meeting and chit-chat and have fellowship after the meeting. It's like you used to stand out in the parking lot and talk.
Yeah. Carla?
No, that was new to me, but yeah, we do have times after meetings where we chat, yes.
Okay. This is a good one. Do I have to go to the same meeting as my sponsor?
No.
Right? There you go. There you go. How often are group consciences business meetings held?
Depends on the group conscience. Right. Some groups hold monthly group conscience meetings, like the 100-pounders. We're talking about the 100-pounders meeting. The 100-pounders meeting has a group conscience meeting the first Monday of every month. The conscience meeting. Some hold them once a month. Some hold them every other month. Some hold them only when there's a problem, that somebody has something they want to bring up.
Yeah.
That's not been my experience.
Yeah, good. All right, this is an interesting question. A little veered off the topic, but I think it'll be interesting to hear your answer. What brought you to surrender?
For me, I got a drinking problem. And I went to AA. And there I heard that if I didn't surrender completely, I would either die or be institutionalized. And I realized that meant all my compulsions. And definitely, I'm a compulsive overeater, first, last, and always. And definitely, it's harder with the food because, you know, you have to eat three times a day. And even normal food, I'd like to sometimes have an extra little bit. So it's important to be able to have boundaries on my food plan, and definitely surrender that if I don't keep those boundaries, it isn't a pretty picture. Thank you.
Thanks. Sue?
I was 340 pounds and I couldn't walk around the block without severe pain. And that wasn't enough. I still had to suffer like that for almost 2 years before I finally got it. And then I realized that, you know, I had to do something about it. So I was still coming back to the rooms and still sitting there with all that weight on. And, you know, it was almost like I had my spiritual awakening and realized that I was a compulsive overeater. And that I had to do something about it. And what came up is I had to do the 12 steps. So.
Good. This is a good one. Are 90 meetings in 90 days necessary for recovery?
That's an individual issue. Not everybody needs that, but some of us, and I didn't do it. The first couple of years I was in, it was a few years later that I did it. But I found it very helpful, especially to get the idea that there's complete surrender. Thank you.
Thanks, Carla. Sue?
Anything that is said is just a suggestion. We don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything we say. Yeah. Talk to your sponsor.
Good. Okay. What about anonymity in meetings online? Are meetings on Zoom really safe?
I haven't had any problem with it. I've been very, very pleased about that. And I did want to emphasize that what I speak is my opinions. It's from my experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, I'm just one person. Everybody has their own story. Thank you.
Thanks, Carl. Sue?
The phone meetings have been having some difficulty with intruders. To be honest, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They've had trouble with intruders who come in and use foul language or make noises. Is your anonymity safe? Your anonymity is safe, as far as I know. It's just disturbing to hear them come in and do that. But it's happening on Zoom, too. And if you keep a Zoom meeting secure, you can keep a, you know, phone meeting secure.
Good. Okay. Do you get different things from a Zoom meeting and an in-person meeting? If so, what are they?
In my opinion, I still am very appreciative of Zoom meetings, but face-to-face meetings are still the way to go for that feeling of acceptance and just being part of. But still, Zoom meetings are wonderful. I don't negate them at all.
And Sue?
Well, I think face-to-face meetings are also people who live in your neighborhood, or at least close to it, while Zoom meetings are people from across the country and across the world. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but you can't go to lunch with people who you see on Zoom. We used to do that a lot at face-to-face meetings. We'd go out and have lunch together.
All right, I think we're going to wrap up there. You guys were great. Thank you for your time and consideration. Great job.